Let me invite us to give ear to our second reading, which is found in the 12th chapter of Mark's Gospel. I'll begin reading at verse 28. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and beside him there is no other, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Then when Jesus saw that the scribe answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any question. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. This moment in Mark is actually a pretty remarkable moment. Usually when scribes come to Jesus, they come to test him. When scribes comes to Jesus, it's like a politician showing up on the opposition news channel. The environment is usually hostile. But this scribe is searching for something, and he thinks Jesus might have wisdom. "What is the greatest commandment?" he asks. It's a mature question. He's asking, "What does God want from me?" That's the scribe's question. What is my life for? Jesus said, "Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You do that, and God will be pleased." The scribe says, "Yes, that's right. That's exactly right." And Jesus says, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Not far. Is that good? Is that not far as in really close? Or not far as in missed it by a mile? Is Jesus affirming this scribe, or is he channeling that old TV character Maxwell Smart? Missed it by that much. And if you got that, you just told the room how old you are. Some have noticed that Jesus answers the scribe's question and the scribe repeats the answer, but he edits it. Jesus says, "You shall love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength." But when the scribe repeats it, he leaves one word out. He leaves out soul, which can be translated life. And so is this omission poetic or substantive? Some notice this and wonder if our scribe thinks it's important to know what the most important commandment is, but not necessarily to live the most important commandment. Well, knowing what your life is for doesn't do you any good if you don't live it. One Saturday, it was my job to mow the lawn, and I was finishing my morning coffee, and I flipped through the channels on the TV, and one of those home repair shows came on, you know, the kind that show you how to remodel a bathroom or hang a window. This particular time, they were laying a new roof, and I was learning all about it. Carol walked through the room with her work shoes on, headed to the garden, and she said, "Are you going to cut the grass?" And I said, "Yeah, in a minute." She looked at the television. She said, "What is this?" I said, "They're installing a new roof. I'm learning everything about it." She said, "You planning on roofing anything soon?" I said, of course not. It's just interesting. She said, well, why don't you mow the lawn? That's something you can actually do. See, she was pointing out that I'm a fan of recreational education. What I mean is I like learning things that I have absolutely no intent on actually using in my life. And that's okay with roofing and whatnot. But when it comes to Christian faith is not to inform us, it is to form us. Christian faith is not about what we know, it's about how we live. You are not far from the kingdom, Jesus said. I still don't know. Is that good or is that an indictment? Some say we shouldn't be too harsh on this scribe. At least this one's on the way. The scribe asks his question because he is seeking wisdom. He's made commitments. He's made choices with his life. But he's still not sure he's done what he's supposed to do. No one needs to tell him he's lacking something in his life. His own question reveals his own knowledge of that. His question reveals that he's looking for something different. What does God want of me? He comes to Jesus for wisdom. What is the greatest commandment, he asked. Rob Kaloje was on the plane that Captain Chesley Sullenberger set down in the Hudson River, you remember it. After Kaloje, who was also on the plane with his brother and some friends, after he was rescued, he was asked, what was it like? He said, as the plane went silent and began to descend, I had two thoughts. The first, in 90 seconds, I'll be dead. The second, I hope I did what I was supposed to with my life. I hope I did what I was supposed to with my life. That's a religious question. I hope I did what God wanted me to do with my life. This question assumes that life has a purpose. Not a purpose we create for ourselves, but a purpose that is given to us by the one who has created us. He said, I hope I did what I was supposed to. In other words, I hope I did what God wanted me to do. And Jesus says, if you want to know what that is, God wants you to love God with everything you've got, and to love your neighbor in a way you would want your neighbor to love you. It sounds so simple, it really does. But it is so easy to miss. It's just so easy to miss. We get busy with the stuff of our lives, and we can miss what matters most. We get distracted by our overachieving schedules, and all of a sudden we turn around and wonder, I spent the whole day, but did I live it? Am I making any sense to you? We moved to Jacksonville, Florida when our kids were young. Our new neighborhood had something our old neighborhood did not have. Our new neighborhood had an ice cream truck. You know what I'm talking about. They're usually an old panel truck, run down. They have stickers plastered on the side of all kinds of ice cream cones and popsicles of every color. On top is a speaker, a bad speaker, that plays some monotonous tune like it's a small world. The music rings out over the neighborhood, alerting every child to quickly find a parent who can give you $7.50 because they need it like they're going on a religious pilgrimage. The first time my son heard the music, being unfamiliar, he asked, Dad, what is that? He was 4 years old. Look, I don't know why I said this. I didn't plan to say this. I just sort of heard it as it came out. He said, Dad, what is that? And I said, Son, that's a music truck. And it's true, it never comes around without playing the music. He said, a music truck, really? I said, yes. He said, well, why is that? I said, I guess here they just know how much children love music. And he said, Jacksonville's a great place to live. I said, yes, it is. A few days later, the truck stopped right in front of our house. A gaggle of kids gathered around making trades for snow cones and Double Dipper Delight. Nathan spotted the activity, investigated, and returned to report. He said, Dad, you'll never believe it. I said, what? He said, Dad, the music truck has ice cream. Really, I said. He said, Dad, I think it's been there all along, and we missed it. Do you ever worry that you missed something? That you spent your whole day and didn't live it? That's why God came again to meet us here this Sunday, to remind us what we're for. And sometimes, even though it's been there all along, it's easy to miss. I have a friend named Spencer. I admire him. I've known him for a long time, and Spencer had a son named Trey, and Spencer spent hours and hours and days and weeks volunteering as a coach for every team that Trey played on. Spencer's like me. He's not an athlete at all, so he had to study the sports, baseball and soccer and basketball. It wasn't so bad when Trey was little, particularly like the soccer. They just kind of play amoeba soccer, you know, just kind of all hang around the ball. And it's not so bad then, but they quickly, the games advance and become complicated. Spencer worked hard late nights, went special camps, and he became a really good coach. One day, however, Trey told his dad, I'm not playing baseball this year. Spencer said, what do you mean? You're at the top of your game. This year, you're first string catcher. This is your year. What do you mean you're not playing baseball? Trey said, Dad, I just don't love it anymore. I just don't love it anymore. Spencer said as he spoke those words and he looked at his son, he realized somewhere along the line he had forgotten why they started all of this. He started just because it was a way for a dad to spend time with his son. And he told me, Tom, somewhere along the way, I traded being a father for being a coach. It was a bad trade. I missed it. Maybe what prompts our scribe to come to Jesus is that life confused him along the way. He forgot that paying attention to what matters most requires discipline. It's not just going to happen. It requires discipline. It requires intentionality. Our scribe shows us that when it comes to knowing what people are for, we should look to Jesus. Jesus shows us what it looks like to live this greatest commandment. I had never heard of Bishop Marianne Buddy, but she made the news this week at the inaugural prayer service when she urged our president to be merciful. She noted that some, including some of you, are afraid. On the day that we experienced the peaceful transition of power, our president pardoned many, and I assume the most in history, of those who engaged in political violence. She urged mercy. The president didn't like it. Nobody likes to be mentioned in church. He didn't like it and belittled her, calling her a so-called bishop. Georgia Representative Mike Collins tweeted that she should be added to the deportation list, suggesting that the only true Americans are those who agree with the administration. Don't miss what I'm saying. She urged mercy. And if we think she should be condemned, we have missed something. Our understanding of what our life is for has been confused. Let me be clear. Bishop Buddy had a responsibility to preach with the president in the room. I will never have that responsibility. I am not talking to or about him. My conversation is with us. What I know is the administration is causing fear in the LGBTQIA community. But you have consistently been committed to being a safe place. And that will continue, because that is one way we love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's what we're for. And what I know is every week, even when it's frigid outside those doors, we open those doors for worship, and we never ask for ID. Every week we serve meals to the hungry, and we never ask for papers, and we will continue, because that is one way we love our neighbors as ourselves, and that is what we are for. So we may be on different sides of issues from time to time, but being on the right side of the issue is not enough. We don't have to be on a different side. We have to be different, which means we must choose mercy. The bishop urged mercy, just mercy. She said so because she remembered what we're for. She remembered the greatest commandment. Everything should be shaped by love. How we treat one another, how we treat this city, how we treat those who see these matters differently than we see them. Love is what we are for. Now, I don't know what's going to happen to you this week, but I imagine there'll be a time you'll have to make a choice. You'll have a decision to make. You'll have to choose to speak judgment or to speak grace. You will have to choose to condemn or offer forgiveness. You'll have to choose to return evil for evil, or to be kind. You'll have to choose. So remember to choose grace, generosity, kindness, mercy. Choose that. And when you do, maybe, just maybe, you'll hear God whisper, "You're not far. You're not far." But remember this too, because this is true of all of us. It is so easy to forget what we are for. So after whatever this week brings to you, do what you can, but then please come back again next Sunday that God might remind us one more time what we are for. We are to love God with all that we are and our neighbor in a way that we would want our neighbor to love us. Do that, and we're not far. Pray with me. Gracious God, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.